Now, back to Lansing's only live afternoon talk show, Ebling and You, on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back, Jack and Scott, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. Very happy to welcome in our first guest, as we do each Friday at this time, Bill Ballinger, the editor of Inside Michigan Politics and frequent guest on Off the Record. Hello, Bill. How are you?
I'm great, Jack.
Hey, we have seen a lot of polling numbers flying around here the last few weeks, and finally saw one which said Virge Bonero had cut this under 20 points. I think the number was 14, but a lot of these numbers are still hovering around 20. Is it too late to make a major move?
Probably too late. When you saw a poll about 10 days ago said 13% for Bonero, that was quickly followed by a poll said, no, it's 20%.
Mm-hmm.
Now you've had one that says 14%. That's the one you're referring to.
Yes.
But there's another one that came out the same day almost saying it's 20%.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really know what it is, but at least we're not talking about between 27 and 20%. We're talking about between 20% and 14 or 13%. That's
right.
Good news for Bonero. It's moving in the right direction. I just don't think he can keep it moving fast enough to make a difference on November 2nd.
Bernie Porn of Epic MRA was a guest on the show yesterday, and he was talking about some numbers which showed Mark Schauer having a 6 percentage point lead in the 7th Congressional District, and Gary Peters having a 5-point lead in the 9th District, and those were turnarounds from what we had seen previously. But in those districts, Bill, it was still 20 or 23 points, the lead for Rick Snyder.
Yeah. Well, what that seems to mean is that Rick Snyder is running what we might call a Lonesome Rick campaign. you know, it's not exactly like Snyder and whoever for the Republican Party and various other offices. We've seen that in the past where somebody is really doing well in polls at the top of the ticket, that they make an attempt to tie that person in with other candidates of the same party on down the ballot. We saw it a lot with Obama in 2008. I remember way back in the Paleolithic era in 1966, George Romney did that with a lot of Republicans and swept a whole bunch of them into office. Unfortunately, for some of these other Republicans running below Rick Snyder, they don't seem to be getting the love that some of these down-ballot candidates got in the past from the guy at the top.
Right, right. Well, we saw another debate this week with Mark Schauer and Tim Walberg, and I guess I'm a little surprised that now this is 3 Chamber of Commerce endorsements for Mark Schauer, and I didn't think the chambers were usually in the business of endorsing Democrats.
Well, they're not. So obviously Schauer must be doing something right. And, you know, it looks good for Mark Schauer at this point. He's got Bill Clinton coming in for him on Sunday. Can't do much better than that, coming to Battle Creek Kellogg Community College. So, you know, maybe Tim Walberg has got to do something dramatic to try and turn it around. Maybe this won't be quite the big Republican wave year that a lot of people have been saying. Certainly, if both Schauer and Gary Peters, the other freshman Democrat over in the 9th Congressional District in Oakland County, both win, and if the Democrats are able to hold on to that 1st Congressional District up in the UP with Gary McDowell, that will be a huge accomplishment for the Democrats in a year where a lot of people thought they were going to be going down in flames.
Bill, last week on this show, when Kelly Rossman McKinney was here, we talked about which candidate or which figure you would like to have come in and campaign for you if you were a Republican and if you were a Democrat. And I think we all agreed that Bill Clinton would be the ideal choice for the Democrats, and somebody was listening to us.
I think they took our advice, Jack. It's about time they listen.
Well, in terms of what Bill Clinton can do here, it's not as if he's going to be lockstep with all of these candidates. Mark Schauer is going to be joining us in just a few minutes, and I'm going to ask him about NAFTA because he has been an outspoken critic of that once it repealed. And, of course, that was on Bill Clinton's watch, something that he supported.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that'll be interesting, Jack. I'd like to hear that conversation.
Well, in terms of some of the other races and some of the other things that are going on, further down the ticket, we have a Secretary of State's race. We have Attorney General's race. Is it pretty much expected that in a normal year, those will always go the way of the gubernatorial ballot?
Well, not always. In fact, Jack, 8 years ago, the last time we went through this, when the governorship was open and so was Secretary of State and Attorney General, you got an opposite result. You had Jennifer Granholm, a Democrat, winning by about 4 points for governor. Then you had Terry Land winning for Secretary of State. She's a Republican, opposite party of Granholm, by about, maybe 6 points. And then you had Mike Cox, a Republican, getting elected Attorney General, the first Republican in almost half a century, by a cliffhanger 5,200 votes. So you got both those offices, Secretary of State and Attorney General, being won by Republicans while a Democrat was winning at the top of the ticket. The problem this time around is, as you point out, if Snyder is winning by not just 4 points, like Granholm did in 2002, but something like 15, then there's a real problem. Because, it's difficult for David Layton, the Democratic nominee for Attorney General, and Jocelyn Benson, the Democratic nominee for Secretary of State, to overcome that if they've got opponents who are pretty formidable in and of their own right, which I think both Bill Schuette, the Republican for Attorney General, and Ruth Johnson, the Republican for Secretary of State, are.
When a candidate like David Layton loses in a race like this, is he tarnished or is he viable to come back and run again, maybe run for another office?
I think he's still viable. I mean, if David Layton loses this year, we'll have to wait and see how all the other races turn out, how Bernero does at the top of the ticket vis-a-vis Snyder and so forth. Certainly David Layton is a viable candidate for something else. It could be Congress. It could be, you don't know what it might be. Could
maybe
be
Dale Kildee's seat.
Could be another statewide office at some point.
Yeah.
I think the big thing he has to worry about is if he loses by a big margin,
right,
or a much larger margin than, let's say, Jocelyn Benson does, or let's say the margin he loses by is almost as big as Bernero's loss to Snyder, if that happens, then people might start making judgments.
What about the Attorney General campaign, Bill? We have seen some accusations. We've seen some commercials now which have come into dispute. There have been death threats. There was a call to an office as a result of a prompting from an ad which said someone wanted to swerve over and hit David Layton with his car. Is this pretty much just regular hardball, or is this one a little bit out of the norm?
I think it's a little bit out of the norm. It's a little bit over the edge. We've never really had a campaign for Attorney General quite like this one. We didn't even have it 8 years ago between Mike Cox and Gary Peters. It's gotten pretty nasty. It's clearly the ugliest statewide major race this year. And it's unfortunate, and I don't think it's been edifying. And, very little of it, frankly, has been about what the Attorney General really does as Attorney General. It doesn't really deal with the issues of being an Attorney General. I think each candidate is, to a certain extent, at fault for creating this atmosphere. Each candidate is making claims and making promises that really have very little to do with being Attorney General. Anybody in Lansing who knows state government knows this. And yet these candidates seem to be feeling that unless they push these hot buttons and they pick off these very juicy, low-hanging fruit issues, that they can make political capital out of, or they think, they can, wedge issues, you could call them.
Right.
They're not going to make any progress with the voters. They believe that the voters are going to tune them out. So they're talking about things that really have nothing to do with the job.
Amazing. Bill, when are you on Off the Record again?
Tonight.
Tonight. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, we had Woodrow Stanley, who is the mayor, the former mayor of Flint, now a state representative and who may be running for Speaker of the Democratic Caucus in the State House, as the guest. Interestingly, Flint has really come to the fore in this campaign precisely for the reason we've just been discussing, and that is David Layton is the prosecuting attorney for Genesee County, which includes Flint, and Bill Schuette has claimed that, you know, Flint is the murder capital of the world and that Layton has failed to prosecute a bunch of alleged murders up there that he should have. We didn't talk about that with Woodrow Stanley. I would have if we'd had more time, but right. We spent more time talking about whether or not the Democrats can retain control of the legislature.
Well, that should be very interesting. That's tonight and then again Sunday afternoon, correct, on WKAR?
Correct. That's correct.
Bill, thanks so much for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
My pleasure, Jack.
Bill Ballinger, the editor of Inside Michigan Politics and a panelist with Tim Skubick on Off the Record.